My name is Mike Doffner. For those of you who wouldn't know me, I'm the church administrator here. Just so you don't think that this is just some random guy standing up here talking to you that decided to talk today. About 6 or 7 months ago, I kind of sat down with Pastor Rich, and I told him that, like, you know, I thought my life was changing. I kind of started getting the idea in my head to maybe go into ministry. And so I said, well, since Aaron was leaving the church administrator job, I decided, well, now would be a good time to kind of see how the church works and see how it's run. And I've really enjoyed it for the past few months, and I look forward to keep doing it. And so this is my chance to get up here and give a Sunday service. I've given quite a few talks at youth group before with small amounts of kids, and we've done large amounts of kids. I did some devotionals at the Rebloom retreat that just happened in November. So I'm here today, and I'm excited to be here. I want to talk about fear today, and more so this concept of faith over fear, and not letting fear control us so much. I too have struggled with fear quite a lot here in the last few months. I've had some digestive issues, and it's been kind of scary, just the unknowns, going through all the tests and trying to figure out what's going on and the waiting and everything else. So this topic is personal to me, and I know it can be personal to a lot of people, and it can be personal to this world out there right now that's very fearful of all kinds of things. So I have this verse from Isaiah 41 up there. It's a super common verse. I'm sure everyone's seen it. You probably have it on something in your house somewhere along the lines. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. That's very popular to have on decorations in your house. God gives us this command, do not be afraid, 365 times in the Bible. That's enough times for one time each and every day for an entire year. Yet how often do we not listen to that command? How often do we start worrying and let fear consume us instead of listening, do not be afraid, for I am your God. So today I want to address just a few things about fear, specifically what it happens when we let it dominate our lives, and then not necessarily how we overcome fear, but rather why we would want to overcome it at all. Because let's be honest, sometimes when we fear so much, and we let it control our lives, it almost becomes normal. It becomes a new normal way of life. And so why even come out of that fear at all if it's just normal at that point? So I want everyone to think about a fear or a stress or anxiety. All these things kind of go hand in hand. And something that they're going through right now, and my hopes by the end of it, is that not just you, but me too, that we can try to start surrendering that fear to the Lord and try to stop letting fear dominate our lives and try to start letting faith dominate our lives. Now, we all fear, we all have our stresses and anxieties. That's a part of being human. And this concept of fear comes straight from the first book of the Bible in Genesis. Adam and Eve are in the garden. They eat the forbidden fruit. They become disobedient to God. So in Genesis 3, it reads, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, where are you? He answered, I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid. Well, why were you afraid because you were naked? You were just naked a few seconds ago, and now all of a sudden you're aware that you're naked? It wasn't the nakedness that changed. It was their obedience to God that changed. They became disobedient, and they did what they were strictly told not to do. Sin was followed by the awareness of God's displeasure and the fear of his judgment. Fear is itself part of sin's punishment. Without that original fall, we would have no reason to be fearful of anything. And it's because of their disobedience that they were fearful of God. And it's because of our disobedience today that we become fearful of things, because we don't trust in him who has the power over that fear. So Bree read that nice call to worship this morning from Mark 4. And I won't read the whole thing again, but I do want to make some mentions here out of that. So disciples are on the boat with Jesus. This is still a little bit early in Jesus's ministry, but they've seen what Jesus can do. He's done some miracles at this point, but they're still kind of trying to figure out who Jesus is. And so this great big storm comes over, and their first immediate thought is they're scared they're going to die. Meanwhile, Jesus is sleeping on the same boat that they're scared they're going to die on. And so they say to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" How many times have we shook our fists at the sky when something happens? Said, "God, don't you care about me? Don't you see me here? I'm struggling. I'm scared about my health. I'm scared I can't pay the bills. I'm scared I can't support my children. Why are you not helping me? Don't you care about me?" And that's what fear makes us do. It makes us lose our faith, even though Jesus is standing right there. He's right there in the same boat with the disciples, and they're scared to death that they're going to die. That's the power of fear, and those disciples let that fear consume them. And that's what it makes us do today. It makes us doubt our Savior. And so it continues on, and Jesus quiets the waves, and he turns to the disciples, and he says, "Why are you still afraid? Do you still have no faith?" I think that hits me really deep. I've been scared before. You've probably been scared before. And it's in those times of fear that we really start to question what our faith really was to begin with. Were you ever trusting in God that you let the fear take over so fast? And so you may say, well, the disciples shouldn't have been fearful because Jesus was standing right there. They were looking at him. Well, I'd say that's the wrong question, because that question itself shows a lack of faithfulness, because we as Christians know that we don't live by sight. We live by faith. We live by trust in him. And if you don't think that Jesus is standing right next to you through all that chaos of the storm that you're going in, well, then I do think that you have to start asking your question, do you still have no faith? Or what is the level of your faith? Because he's there. Just as much as he was there with the disciples that night on that ship, he's there with us in our storm. But we have to be able to listen to him. And I want to compare this lack of faith to what James has to say about it, because I think these verses kind of go hand in hand, particularly how we listen to God. I don't know why that got so messed up on the screen, so I apologize for that. So James says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds." And these trials, of course, are those hardships, those medical concerns, those not being able to support your children, losing a job, all those things that can make us fearful. "Because you know that testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." I believe this is NIV that says perseverance, and ESV says steadfastness. And I want to talk about that steadfastness. I have a really great psalm a little bit later on, so we'll kind of get back to this point of steadfastness after that. James continues on, "If you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do." See, James paints a similar picture here of those disciples getting caught up in that storm in the sea. Their faith was lacking. Therefore, they got tossed around like the waves of the sea. They became unstable. And I think most of us can relate to that, right? When we go down this rabbit hole of fear, things can kind of get out of control pretty quickly in our head. We start going into some really dark places, and we let fear really start calling the shots in our life, and listen to fear instead of listening to God. We get tossed around and we become unstable, just like James says. And most importantly, we can't receive the wisdom from God if we're spending too much time fearing and letting fear call the shots, because we've almost turned our back on God at that point. How can we hear Jesus say, "Quiet, be still," to the storm that we're going through if we can't hear him, or we don't want to hear him, because we're living our new normal of fear? Sip of water real quick, sorry. All right, so far, hopefully everybody's with me here, because I'm going to throw a little curveball here. When we let fear take over, we're actually fearing the wrong thing. Now, you're probably saying, well, you just said that fear is bad, and it leads to unfaithfulness, and it takes us away from God, so why would we be fearful of anything then? Because here's the worst part about fearing earthly things. This comes out of Luke 12. This is Jesus talking. He says, "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. I tell you, fear him." That verse gives me chills. I don't know about you. That's a pretty strong thing that Jesus is saying right here. When we let fear consume us, it takes us away from God, and then we forget about the consequences that can come out of that. We end up thinking about our earthly fears so much and forget all about the power of God, the one who grants us our salvation with his grace. Of course, I'm not trying to scare us and say, oh, we're doomed to hell just because we're fearing. That's not what this is about. But it shows the severity of how God feels about when we fear and when we lack faith in him. We really have no reason to be scared of this verse if we trust in him. So how do we not let fear interfere with our relationship with God? I have two stories about this. One which is really personal to me, and then another one which we should all actually know. One is about my mom, and the other one is about Jesus himself. So I don't know if any of you would hear or remember my mom, but she had a very debilitating disease, very rare, no cure for it, anything like that. It was basically shutting her muscles down slowly, and there's just nothing you could do about it. That was what it was. And so I think it's safe to say that you could be fearful of that because you have no control. There's no way out of that except death. That was the only way out. And so in the beginning, when it was starting to come to that point, you know, she was very scared. She was scared to die. I remember Pastor Rich would come over a bunch, and we would have little Bible lessons, and we would pray, and it was all really great. And at first, I remember her saying, you know, I don't want to die. I'm scared to die. But after we started to have all these things, and she was a believer, but I just think that the fear was consuming her so much that, you know, she was starting to doubt and what was actually happening. But after a while, as we began to almost, like, reopen her eyes to Christ again, you know, those fears started going away. She wasn't as scared. It didn't seem like she was as scared anymore. As a matter of fact, we actually sat down and she openly talked about her funeral, and that was something she couldn't have done a few months previously to that without really breaking down. She started to not let those fears control. It wasn't about the fear anymore. It started to be about Christ. In the book of Daniel, we read about Daniel's friends who are about to be thrown into a blazing furnace because they won't bow down to these false gods and images, because they don't want to, because they have such a good relationship with God. And so it says, we do not need to defend ourselves from you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. They were not about to sacrifice the relationship they had with God because they were scared to die. That's surrender. Even when you full well know that you're going to die and there isn't anything that you can do about it, you have zero control of the situation, and yet you don't sacrifice one bit of that faith. Even if he doesn't pull me out of here, I still believe in him. I still put my trust in him. Fear does not deserve our surrender. God deserves our surrender. No matter what that situation is, God deserves our surrender, not fear. And that's what my mom did. She knew she wasn't going to make it out of that alive. She knew that she had no control of that. And I'll never forget, one night I was walking by her room and the door was slightly cracked. And this is somebody who couldn't walk, couldn't talk, could barely move. Somehow she got herself, knelt down over her bed, and she was praying. She fully surrendered to God. She knew that her salvation was in his hands and there was nothing to be afraid of anymore. She knew that even if he does not pull me from out of this illness, this situation is still in God's hands, and I trust in him and I surrender to him. Life is going to hand us challenges and devastating circumstances. Fear of the unknown, fear of completely losing control. But the reality is we never had control to begin with. And once we accept that and surrender all that stuff to him, we can find peace. Just like she did in that situation. Just like Daniel's friends did in their situation. And it's because of that faithfulness that we're saved. And although I'm sad that my mom's not here, I'm happy about where I know that she is because of that strong faithfulness that she had in the end. See, having fear, anxiety, stress in your life, it's not sin. That's a part of us. We're humans. That came from the fall. However, when you let it consume you and you find your identity in the fear and the stress and the anxiety, that's when it becomes bondage. That's when it takes you away from God. Paul uses that word bondage in Romans 8, that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. Those fears that controlled you, they lead you toward the wide road of unfaithfulness that leads to death and decay. And it takes you off that narrow path that leads to God's glory. It's the bondage of that fear that separates us from God. And of course, that person who didn't let his stress consume him and become bondage was, of course, Jesus. And so in Luke 22, we find Jesus right before he's about to get arrested, right before he's about to get put on the cross and die for all of humanity's sins. This is what happens. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down, and prayed. "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer, he went back to his disciples. He found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." We get the same kind of sense of faithfulness here that Daniel wrote about, but on a much larger magnitude, because Jesus knows that he's about to die on the cross, very, very painful death for all of humanity's sins. So he's under so much stress here, and it said his sweat was like drops of blood. That's actually a real disorder. It's called hematohidrosis. And it's a bleeding disorder, and it only occurs if you're under extreme levels of stress. You have, you know, sweat glands in your body, and there's like a net of blood vessels around them. And if you stress so much, you can actually break those blood vessels, and then it comes out of your sweat. So this isn't like a false thing that like it was like that. No, he was under so much stress that that's what was happening. Much, much greater stress, I might add, than any of us have ever been under or will ever be under. And before I get to the main point here, I kept that last in there so that you will not fall in temptation. Pray so that you will not fall in temptation. I think that's just like a really great way to manage fear and manage stress in your life. And I think it gets really overlooked sometimes. That's why, you know, we go around and we pray for people, and then Rich prays for us at the end. That's how we get out of this stuff. We have fellowship, and we pray with each other. We pull each other up. We lift each other up. And so I think that's such a great command, because if you're not doing that stuff, then you are falling into temptation from the fear. So this main thing here is, yet not my will, but yours be done. Again, that's a hard thing to say when you're about to get whipped and hung and get put out on the cross to die for all of humanity. But see, the thing is Jesus did not identify in his stress and anxiety or fall into bondage as a result. He found identity in his Father. He found life in his Father, not in what was happening to him on this earth. Don't become in bondage with your fears. Become faithful in the one who has power over those fears. The one who has power, the one who can control it. Jesus didn't let that stress get in the way of his relationship with his Father. He surrendered to the will of his Father, who has the power to do such great things, like resurrecting him just a few days later and showing that we can overcome death. That's the power of God. He casted his anxiety and his stress on God because he cares. No matter what's happening in our life, God cares. He loves us so much. And that's the key to all this. This is why we can't let fear get in the way of our relationship with God. Because this is what Paul says in Romans 8. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we have faith in him, we have the God of the universe on our side. We have nothing to be fearful of. And not even death can separate us from that love. The one thing that we fear so much, not even that can separate us from him. Now, with all that being said, of course, we have these periods in our life where we become fearful of things, and they get a hold of us, and we become unfaithful, and then we have periods that we become very faithful, and we kind of go back and forth as we get along. And I listened to this Christian metal band. Whether you believe that or not, there's Christian metal out there. It's great stuff, very theological. There's this line in there. It says, "How many songs of my betrayal will I have sung before it's fatal?" The truth of the matter is we can't out-sin God's love and his grace. That's making God smaller than he really is. He's much bigger than that. We can't out-sin him. But the thing is The more songs of betrayal we sing, the more times we let fear dominate our lives or let sin dominate our lives, the further we move away from God. And we give up our trust in Him totally, if we let it. And that could end up being fatal for us in the end. Remember, He has the power to save us, or the power and authority to throw us into hell. I've been in my own bondage lately. I know a lot of us have in this world. It's a scary world out there. Everything's trying to kill us. Everything's trying to bring us down. I've sung my songs of betrayal day after day. I felt like I've been getting tossed around like the waves of the ocean from my lack of faithfulness. I've read my Bible less. I've prayed less. That fear, we can't let it take control. We can't let it do that to us. We can't let it take us away from God. Because Jesus is standing there that whole time, and He wants to quiet that storm. He wants to say, quiet, be still to you. Because He loves us. He doesn't want our bondage of fear and that control that it has on our life to separate us from Him and the love that He has for us. And so I want to leave us today with this very uplifting psalm. It's probably the most uplifting thing, like if you really break it down, that I could really think of here. This is what happens when we don't let fear take control, but we let God take control. And I alluded to that steadfastness, and that's in this passage here. So it says, "Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes." When we don't let fear take over, when we steadfastly trust in our God, we will walk in victory. No matter what happens on this earth, we will walk triumphantly over all of those evil things, over all the things that made us scared and stressed us out and caused us to have anxiety. Every single thing that this world could throw at us, we will walk triumphantly over those things if we have faith in our God who is there to save us. So what are we so fearful of? Have we let those fears control our lives, or have we been able to surrender them to God? And if you haven't surrendered them, then I would say, what are we waiting for? I think the time is now to stop letting fear control us. Don't let it dominate your life one more day. Don't let those songs of betrayal become fatal to your salvation. Because neither life nor death nor anything else will separate us from walking in victory together with our God when we have full faith and we have full trust in Him.